From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues a series of messages on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Cairns comes to the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer. The text is found in Ephesians 2, verse 18, where the Apostle Paul wrote, "For through him, that is Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Then in Zechariah 12 and verse 10, God promises to pour out upon his people the Spirit of grace and of supplications. In the course of this message, The Spirit of Prayer, Dr. Cairns will show how the Holy Spirit helps believers in the place of prayer. As he introduces the message, he calls attention to the various hindrances in prayer. Before coming to the preaching of God's Word, Dr. Cairns takes a few moments to answer the question, why does God allow suffering? The video version of these comments may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Well, this has been a question that has arisen again and again. I've seen it put this way. And people answer it, of course, in a whole lot of different ways, without usually going to the Bible, by the way. But they will say, well, if God is all good and he has all power, then why does he allow suffering? So either he's not all good and he loves to see people suffer, or if he's all good, he doesn't have all power, he's only got a certain amount of power. In other words, God is not the great transcendent omnipotent God that Christianity proclaims him to be. Seems to be an awful dilemma. The reality is, of course, that it's a dilemma only because the people who frame the question have framed it in such a way as to supply their own answer. God is good, but God's goodness is not, let me emphasize this, God's goodness is not to be defined according to man's notions of goodness. God's goodness is a just and holy goodness. God's altogether a holy God. Isaiah the prophet speaks of him. He quotes the words of Jehovah himself, "I am the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." Holy. Holy and just. Why is that left out of the equation when people ask this question? You see, as the question is framed, it presupposes that the sin of mankind should go unpunished. Now, understand what I'm saying. I am not saying that every sickness and every pain is the result of an immediately preceding sin. In other words, I'm not saying you're sick because of something you have just done or did a year ago or 5 years ago. But I am saying that all sickness and suffering and evil in the world is because mankind fell in Adam. Man is a sinner. Sin is a reality. Sin is an offense against a holy God. And as God told our first parents right at the very beginning, sin is a deadly force. In the day you do that, you'll die. And that death is a death that comprehends or includes all of the suffering and all of the pain all the evil that this world has ever seen. So the real question is, and the biblical way of putting the question would be, has God done anything to deal with the root cause of all the suffering? The answer, of course, is he has. He sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He sent him for sin. He sent him to deal with sin. And that's what he did in his life, death, and resurrection. Jesus Christ has dealt with sin. He saves sinners from their sin. He has even guaranteed the immortality and the sinless glorification of our bodies. That part of his work in its application to us, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 23, awaits the day of redemption, the day of his return, when the resurrection of the body will take place and the glorification of the body, body and soul united in one perfect sinless being. That will take place then. He has dealt with sin. We are in a suffering world because we are in a world that is scarred by sin. That's the real reason. It's not a question of pitting the goodness against the power of God. Let us keep in mind the holy justice of God and the wickedness of sin. If we only see the holiness of God and the sinfulness of sin, we will have no difficulty understanding why there's evil and suffering in the world. We will be amazed that God in grace has provided salvation for sinners. We will be amazed that he hasn't obliterated the whole lot of us, which is certainly what we deserve. Yet God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, as every believer can say, has quickened us together with Christ and saved us by his grace. That is the biblical way to look at what so many foolish people think is an insoluble problem.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed his word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Continue this morning with the series of messages on the person and work of the Holy Spirit of God. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, the second chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. And we'll commence to read at verse 1. Ephesians 2, reading from the first verse. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Let's briefly bow in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for this, the word of God, inspired, infallible, authoritative, and powerful. We pray that this word of God will now be taken by the author, the Spirit of God, and applied with grace and power to every heart. And O Lord, this day we pray that Jesus Christ will be exalted, that the grace of God may flow by the ministry of the Spirit of God as the Word of God is proclaimed. Give grace to this preacher to preach, and to every hearer to listen, and to profit from the Word of God. We ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. There are two verses of Scripture that I want to take as a text, or at least as a launching pad this morning. One in the New Testament and one in the Old Testament. First in the portion that we have read together, Ephesians 2 and verse 18, and then in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Ephesians 2:18 says, "For through him, that is Christ, we both, that is Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Through him, we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Then over in Zechariah 12 and verse 10, "I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. I will pour upon them, says the Lord, the spirit of grace and of supplications." I know of nothing which people, or to which people pay greater lip service and less real attention than prayer. All Christians that I have ever met, and even quite a few unsaved people that I have met, express great confidence in the power of prayer. And yet there is peculiarly little practice of prayer. Very frequently people will read books about prayer, even write books about prayer. They'll hear sermons and preach sermons on prayer. They will promise themselves that they will pay more attention to prayer and they will spend more time in prayer. At times they will even be able to drive themselves through some great self-discipline to be able to pray, or at least appear to pray, for a period of time. But the reality of a meaningful and happy and encouraging prayer life is something that is very, very far removed from the vast majority of people today. Now, right at the very commencement, it must be admitted that there are serious and peculiar impediments to prayer in every person's life. I could list a lot of things, but it's interesting that in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul sums up all the difficulties about praying on our part to two great things. He speaks of ignorance, and he speaks of inability, spiritual impotence. Now we think of ignorance first of all. He says in Romans chapter 8, if you read verse 26, that we know not what to pray for as we ought. Now let's get this. If we're saved, we ought to know what to pray for. And the reason for that statement will become very clear as I proceed with the message this morning. We ought to know what to pray for. But the truth of the matter is that we don't know what to pray for as we ought. You remember it was after quite a time of personal fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, watching Him, listening to Him, seeking to obey Him and serve Him, that the disciples came, according to Luke 11 and verse 1, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." After all this time, after the greatest possible example, after the best preaching that any man in any time has ever been privileged to listen to, and they still didn't know how to pray. They didn't know what to be praying for. They didn't know how to go about praying. So here then are two aspects of our ignorance. We don't know how to pray, and we don't know what to pray for as we ought. And then, very closely allied to that kind of ignorance, there's another. And that is that very often there is an ignorance of the Word of God. We discover again today that the Scriptures are absolutely vital if we're going to be able to pray. Some people have the notion that praying is being able to make a speech to God that's going to make an impression upon Him. It's going to cause the angels to stand up and clap in heaven and give this wonderful applause to a tremendous effort that's made. But that's not praying. At the heart of prayer we will find lies the Word of God. And an ignorance of the Word of God is going to be a serious impediment in prayer. But not just a knowledge of what the Bible says, but what I suppose the old Puritans would have called a spiritual knowledge, or a knowledge of the spiritual use of the Word of God. Very frequently we don't know which precepts and which promises of the Word of God are applicable to us in a given situation. I pointed out on Wednesday evening in the talk I gave before the time of prayer that you cannot just especially when it comes to methods of doing things. Just run into a passage of Scripture and say, that was done there, therefore that is the way that it must be done today. I pointed out that that's impossible and it can be very, very destructive, because it wasn't always done the same way, even in Scripture. So we must have a knowledge of the spiritual use of the Word of God. There are very few men of Issachar, as the Bible calls them, in the first book of Chronicles 12 and 32. You remember those men of Issachar? They had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. That's a tremendous ability given only by the Spirit of God. So we have, therefore, first of all, this ignorance. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. And then we don't know the spiritual use of the Word of God.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.